The reading for the lesson is 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 14 to 21. 2 Chronicles 34, starting at verse 14. When they were bringing out the money which had been brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Hilkiah responded and said to Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan brought the book to the king and reported further word to the king, saying, "Everything that was entrusted to your servants they are doing. They have also emptied out the money which was found in the house of the Lord and delivered it to the hands of the supervisors and the workmen." Moreover, Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest gave me a book," and Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah, Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, Abdon, the son of Micah, Shaphan, the scribe, and Asaiah, the king's servant, saying, "Go inquire of the Lord for me, and for those who are left in Israel and Judah, concerning the words of the book which has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord which is poured out on us, because our fathers have not observed the word of the Lord, to do according to all that is written in this book."
Most of us have had the occasion in our lives to go looking for something, and only to find something we weren't looking for. As we just read, we read about Josiah the king and how that as he was making efforts to restore true worship and to lead the nation of Judah back in service to God, they began to repair the temple. And when they began the process of making the repairs, lo and behold, they found a few things. They found some money, but they also found a book. They found a book that had been lost for a very long time. Again, we've had those experiences. I've seen them on TV where somebody goes through a parent's, grandparent's attic and finds something that they didn't even know was there. Something perhaps very valuable. But I'd like to suggest that what Josiah found was more valuable than anything that's ever been found before. He found the book of the law. And when we think about finding what was lost, we think about Josiah. Josiah, and again, I've already found a typo in my charts. It says Josiah, the grandson of Manasseh and Ammon. He was not the grandson of both Manasseh and Ammon. He was the grandson of Manasseh and the son of Ammon, two of the most wicked kings of Judah. When you think about this book of the law that had been lost, that Josiah found, that, again, his high priest found and brought to his scribe, you say, well, how long had this book been lost? Again, we know as you go back through the book of 2 Chronicles that his father Ammon had reigned for just 2 years. His grandfather Manasseh reigned for 55. And we know from the reign of both Manasseh and Ammon that there was not a lot of teaching going on. There wasn't a lot of biblical instruction, a lot of scripture being spread about. I dare say that when it comes to the book of the law, that for at least 57 years, it had been sitting somewhere, but was not getting used. We see that in the 8th year of his reign, from verses 1 through 10, in fact, let's read verses 1 through 10 of chapter 34 of 2 Chronicles, which says, "Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David and did not turn aside to the right or to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still a youth, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherim, the carved images, and the molten images. And they tore down the altars of the Baals in his presence, and the incense altars that were high above them he chopped down. Also the Asherim, the carved images, and the molten images he broke in pieces and ground to powder and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. Then he burned the bones of the priests on their altars and purged Judah and Jerusalem and the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, Simeon, even as far as Naphtali and their surrounding ruins. He also tore down the altars and beat the Asherim and the carved images into powder and chopped down all the incense altars throughout the land of Israel. Then he returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Messiah, an official of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, and delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites, the doorkeepers, had collected from Manasseh and from Ephraim and from all the remnant of Israel, from all Judah and Benjamin and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Then they gave it into the hands of the workmen who had oversight of the house of the Lord. And the workmen who were working in the house of the Lord used it to restore and repair the house. You see that Josiah was not only a good king, but he was a king that we take note of. He began his reign at a very early age. At 8 years old, he was king of Judah. But we note that it was in the 8th year of his reign, so that make him 16 years old. It says he began to seek the Lord. We understand that as a 16-year-old, you're old enough now to understand that it's your faith. And Josiah understood, I need to seek the Lord, as opposed to my father and my grandfather. We read that in the 12th year of his reign, that would make him 20, he began to cleanse Judah and Jerusalem of idolatry. We read about that just a moment ago. How that he went through the land, he tore down all the idolatrous practices. And not only tore them down, but he destroyed them. And again, scattered the ashes of those things upon those who worshiped to him. And then finally we read in verse 2 Chronicles 34, that in the 18th year of his reign, at age 26, he had finished cleansing the land of the idolatry. So again, that would take some time for him to go throughout the land and to purge the land of all the idolatry that had taken place over the last 57 years or so. And having cleansed the land of the idolatry, we read that he began to repair the house of God. He said, now it's time to repair the temple. And it was then when he sent the workers in to repair the temple that they found the money given for the repairs, and they found the book of the law. It was given to Shaphan, the scribe, who read it to the king, who then tore his clothes in great distress and anguish. And you think to yourselves, you ask the question, how is it that they could not know where this book of the law was for so long? And no doubt, because it had been so long, that Josiah had no knowledge of it. In his 8 years of life before becoming king, he probably never heard of the book of the law and did not know where it was. But I guarantee you something. Somebody knew where that book of the law was. You ever lost something? You ever had somebody tell you that when you said, I can't find something, that the expression, it's right where you left it? Right? It didn't disappear, it's right where you left it. And 57 years before Josiah became king, somebody left the book of the law in some corner of the temple and put it away where it wouldn't be found. Somebody knew where it was. And Josiah may not have known where the book of the law was, but somebody did. And over time, perhaps others just didn't question it anymore. How had this book of law been lost for so many years? Why hadn't anyone cared? Well, Josiah cared. And somebody had taught Josiah about God. Somebody had taught Josiah about his will. And in fact, Josiah cared. It's interesting when we think about the book of the law and the fact that evidently for 57 years or more, and when you think about that again, according to this, again, it was at age 26 when he had cleansed the land of idolatry, when he began to repair the house, when the book of the law was found. If you take that 26 years, will be 18, again, since he became king. On top of the 57, that's 75 years. And so again, What was expected of the Jews at that time regarding the book of the law? Well, the fact is, when you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, the fact is that God expected His word to be read. God expected that it not be set aside in some cubbyhole, in some cupboard, some closet, some attic space, wherever it was put. But God expected His word to be read. And when you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31, begin reading with me in verse 9 down through verse 13, when it says, "So Moses wrote this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. Then Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the time of the year of remission of debts, at the Feast of Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place which He will choose, you shall read this law in front of all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, the men and the women and the children and the alien who is in your town, in order that they may hear and learn and fear the Lord your God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law. And their children who have not known will hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live on the land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess." What was expected of the nation of Israel, of God's people, was Moses said, at least when you go into the land, at least every 7 years, you gather everybody together and you make sure everybody hears the book of the law. Now you say, well, does that mean we only need to read the word of God every 7 years? No. We understand that from Deuteronomy chapter 6, there were commandments for the family at the household level, that the word of God was to be read every day. But Moses made sure that when you come into the land, at least every 7 years, you bring the whole nation together. And you make sure everybody hears the whole book of the law so that they can learn to fear God. So they can learn to do, and so that each successive generation, if you read the book of the law every 7 years, you're going to have generation after generation after generation that will hear the word of God. And if you go to Proverbs chapter 7 and in verse 1, Proverbs chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, again, Solomon, the third king over the nation of Israel, said, "My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart." When it comes to the truth of God's word, Solomon said, what all of you need to do individually is to bind them around your heart. They are to become part of you. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And say to wisdom, "You are my sister." They were to have a very close, intimate relationship with the Word of God today. They were to make sure that it was a daily part of their lives, and that collectively they spent time together hearing the Word of God read. But what about us today? What is our attitude about the Word of God today? Are we so concerned about the Word of God that we make sure that it is a part of our lives each and every day? That it is something that we are ensuring is not lost? In fact, again, when we think about Josiah and finding this lost book, we think, well, that could never happen. Well, in fact, it did happen. And it happened to those who had the Word of God. They chose to take the book of the law, and they chose to put it away. They chose to focus their hearts and minds on something else. And then those choices were repeated year after year after year until again decades went by without any attention being paid to the word of the law. Brethren, we need to be concerned about the word of God being lost today. And you might say, well, there's no chance of the word of God being lost today. The word of God is everywhere. And yes, indeed, it is everywhere. But I like to suggest 57 years ago, before Josiah became king, the Word of God was very present also. But through their negligence, it disappeared and was lost. And we have to be careful today that we say, well, again, you can go in any bookstore, you can go online, It's on every computer. It's on every phone. The Word of God is everywhere. What are you talking about the Word being lost? Well, brethren, let's begin by talking about the fact that do we not live in a world today that the Bible is now being lost in the world? We live in a world today in which more and more the Word of God is disappearing. The Word of God is holding less and less respect. We live in a godless world that, well, even if they believe in God, they don't give place in their lives to His Word. We live in a world today that even if they have a Bible on their shelves, they're not giving it any honor. Perhaps they've gone and put it in a closet, in a cupboard, in a box that they've put in the attic somewhere. They know where they can go get the Word of God, just like they knew in the days of Manasseh where they could go get it. Whoever put it where Josiah found it, somebody knew where it was. But they chose to put it away. They chose to think about something else. The question is, in the world today, is the Bible being lost? Not because it's not available, but because we've chosen to do something else with our lives. Because Satan, who is the god of this world, as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, is actively attacking the Word of God. The god of this world does not want the Scriptures to be read. The god of this world who tempted those during the days of Manasseh and Ammon to put away the Word of God so that others would not have access to it, is just as active today trying to get the Word of God to be lost also. And there are places where the Bible is banned today. And I did a little research on this. There are just a few countries where the Bible is just outright banned. But there are other places where the distribution of the Bible, let's put it this way, is at least very limited. And it can be very difficult to get your hands on a copy of the Bible. But brethren, there are other places where it's freely available, like where we live, like around us. It's freely available. It's everywhere. But it's simply neglected. And the truths of God's Word are becoming lost, just as the books of the law have become lost in the days of Josiah. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, we're told that righteousness exalts a nation, but the sin is a disgrace to any people. Righteousness will exalt our nation. It will exalt any nation upon the face of the earth. But more and more, the Word of God, although it's accessible, although it's available, is not being utilized, it's not being valued, it's not being treasured, it's not being used. And even those who call themselves Christians are no longer against devoting their hearts and their minds to that which God has revealed. We might say, well, again, if our country is not valuing the Word of God, if our country is not as godly and focused on the Word of God as it used to be, then we ask the question, who's at fault? And we say, you know, our national leaders are at fault. You know, the leaders of our land, it's their fault that the Word of God is not being paid attention to. And we need better leaders. We have better leaders. We'd have more focus and attention on the Word of God. Is it our leaders' fault? If the Word of God is not being paid attention to, if the Word of God is becoming lost in the lives of people today, or is it those of us who live wherever we live that's allowing these things to happen? Interesting, again, you can do a lot of study in terms of reading the Word of God, but this is one that interested me. A 2014 Pew Research study said 42% of those who consider themselves Christians say reading the Bible is essential. 42%, less than half, say, yeah, it's really important to read the Word of God. If my math is correct, that would be 58% that says reading the Bible isn't. Again, I'm no statistical whiz, but that says to me more people than not who call themselves Christians say it's not essential to read the Word of God. The Word of God is getting lost today. The Word of God is getting lost because we don't consider it essential. We don't consider it important. But why is the Word of God becoming lost in the world today? Well, I'd like to suggest that the Word is becoming lost in the world today because the Word is becoming lost in the church today. God's Word has gone missing in the pulpits, not only in denominations. The Word of God has gone missing in the Lord's church in many places throughout this world. You might say, well, you can go into any church of Christ and find the Bible. Well, no doubt I would hope that every building across America, throughout the world that calls itself the Church of Christ would have somewhere within its premises a copy of the Bible, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that when folks get up to preach and to teach the message of God, that they're no longer preaching and teaching His message. That the Word of God is no longer being found palatable from pulpits today. Not just in denominations, but in churches of Christ. In many, if not most, places, the gospel message used to focus on the Scriptures, but has been replaced with an entertaining, fleshly, human focus, saturated with human wisdom. Somebody had told me about attending recently a denominational Church of Christ in which nothing but fun and games had taken place, in which no gospel preaching took place, in which no reading of God's Word happened. But they played games, they did exercise, did fun things. And more, the Bible is being lost in the church. And you say again, it's right here. Well, I understand that. But is it being taught? Is it being read? Is it being proclaimed? The message is clear from the Scriptures in terms of the church's responsibility. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, we're told, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching. Paul told Timothy, you need to devote yourself to the reading of Scripture. He didn't say, devote yourself to humorous anecdotes, to entertaining jokes, to that which will amuse and entertain your audience. He said, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. We know that Mickey referenced this passage this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 4, in which Paul told Timothy, preach the word. That's simple enough. Preach the word. But again, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. The message was make sure that what comes out of the pulpit, so to speak, is not the thoughts of men, but it's Scripture. It's God's Word. The message is clear that we can't shrink from declaring anything that was profitable as Paul recited to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20. We can't shrink from declaring anything that was profitable. You might say, well, yeah, there are churches, denominational and otherwise, in which Scriptures are read. But do they preach the whole counsel of God? Or are they portions of the God's Word, big portions, that they choose to leave out? When we talk about reading the book of the law back from Deuteronomy 31, do you remember that again, Moses' commandment was that the whole law be read? You need to know everything that's in the law. And when we preach the gospel, we need to be like Paul who preached the whole counsel. Everything that was profitable. And as Jeremiah the prophet, Jeremiah 26 and verse 2 was told by God, do not omit a word. Don't leave anything out. And when we think about the lost word, sometimes it's not the fact that nothing from the Bible is being preached. It's that not everything from the Bible is being preached. The big portions are being omitted. And the Bible is being lost because we're not preaching the whole counsel of God. And someone might say, well, yeah, we're reading the Scriptures, but we're reading just to read. If you notice in Acts chapter 13 and verse 27, as we've been studying from this on Sunday mornings, and again, he's in Antioch of Pisidia, and we know from there that he's again recounting the history of the Jewish people. But in that passage, Paul says, for those who live in Jerusalem and the rulers, recognizing neither him nor the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled these by condemning him. Did they, on the Sabbath day, did they participate in the reading of scriptures? Yes. But they just read. And they missed what the scriptures were actually teaching. And they didn't make the application. And it's good just to read. In terms of if we have to read something, we should read the Bible. We need to read with understanding. We need to read with application. And when you read in Nehemiah chapter 8, after they had returned from captivity, you read how that Ezra the scribe had stood up and read the book of the law as they should have done from morning until noonday. And it says in verse 3 of Nehemiah chapter 8, and he read from it before the square which was in front of the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of men and women, those who could understand and all the people who were attentive to the book of the law. And they read verse 8, and they read from the book, from the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they understood the reading. I've read things before. And I'll be honest with you, I've had times where I've read God's Word before. And that's all I've done. Perhaps my mind was somewhere else. Perhaps I was thinking about something else. And I read, but nothing was actually hitting home. And I wasn't understanding what was being read. And I wasn't making application to my life. The Word of God was read every Sabbath day in synagogues. But they didn't understand what was read every Sabbath day about the Messiah. We need to make sure that we read and that we understand. And that's what preaching the gospel is about. And in James chapter 1, in James chapter 1 and verse 23, James talks about the fact that when we go to the Word of God, again, it can be very tempting for us to go and to read it and to not make the application. But James says, when you read it, you've got to look at yourself in the mirror of God's Word. And he says in James chapter 1, verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the Word, again, they're reading. If anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. That's the person who's just reading to read. And not thinking about, is this applying to me? Is this something I need to fix in my life? Is this something I need to work on? Is this something that I can work to share with others? Making application. And James says, when you read and you're a hearer of the Word, make the application, learn from it, and learn the lessons that we need to learn. And frankly, when we think about the fact that indeed the Bible is being lost in the church, we have to ask the question, do we really believe in the power of God? The power that God has placed in the gospel. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God and salvation. Do I believe that? Do I believe the power is there? And when we read the scriptures, do we understand that that's God's power? And when we're proclaiming His truths, do we understand that that is the power of God? Anybody who knows me knows that Isaiah chapter 55 is one of my favorite chapters, and verse 11 in particular is one of my favorite verses, in which Isaiah the prophet speaks the words of God, and after talking about how God sent the rain, and when the rain is sent by God, it accomplishes what it was sent to do. It always works. God said regarding His word in verse 11 of Isaiah 55, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. God sent His Word. He sent the Book of the Law. He sent the Bible to us, and God promised it'll work. I sent it to accomplish something. I sent it to have the power. I placed my power in it, and we need to make sure that we understand and believe truly that the power is in the Word of God. So we say, well, how is the Bible being lost in the church? How is the Bible being lost in the world today? How is that happening? Brethren, it's happening because the Bible is being lost in the home. And you see where we're going with this. Then it comes back to us individually. But it's not about the world. We don't fix the world by trying to address the world. We address the world by addressing the church. We address the church by addressing the home. The home is from God. The home is defined by the Word of God. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, God defined the family relationship. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 6, it was Jesus who said it was from the beginning that God had made and determined the family relationship. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25, it was God who, through the Apostle Paul, defined the relationship that husbands and wives are to have. And in chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, it was God who set parents over children and gave them the authority to bring them up and to nurture in the admonition of the Lord. God defined these relationships. God intended for His Word to be explained and taught in the home, to be an integral part of the daily life of the family. And we talked about in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it was not just a matter of the fact that the word of the law was to be read every 7 years, but it was to be a morning and evening thing in every household of God's people. The home is where God's word is to take root and establish His standards of morality. That's where His standards of what is right and wrong. And when you read beginning in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, when He writes to those Christians and tells them, beginning of verse 17, "This I say therefore and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind." And talks about them in verse 20 that says, "You did not learn Christ in this way." And talks about the old self in verse 22 that was to be laid aside. And all the attributes beginning in verse 25 that were to be put aside. The fact is that God established the home as the place where His word was to be read and where His standards of morality were to take root. The reading of God's word must be the priority in our lives. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And again, that's not at the national level, it's not at the church level. That's to be brought about in our homes. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the fact is that when practiced, when the Bible is not lost in the home, when other things in the Bible are not dominating the lives of the people who live there, but in fact it is the Word of God that is authoritative, that is guiding that household and that family, the impact can last a lifetime and last lifetimes after lifetimes. And in fact, decisions made within the home to make sure that the Word of God is integral and part in the foundation of that household can last generations to come. But we have to make that decision that the Bible is not going to be lost in my house. And it's not a matter of, again, I know where on the shelf my Bible is at home, but the fact that it's read, it's talked about, it's meditated on a daily basis in the home. And far too often, homes exist. Though Bibles are on the shelves, the Word of God is being lost. And we're missing the opportunities that are before us. Brethren, you know where this is going. It's not a matter of the fact that the Word of God is lost in our world. It's not a matter that the Word of God is lost within the church. It's not a matter of the Word of God being lost in the home. Where it all starts, brethren, is the fact that the Bible is being lost in our hearts. That is where the Word of God needs to reign. And when the Word of God begins to reign in our hearts and to fill the place in our individual lives, it'll begin to reign in our homes. And when the Word of God begins to reign in our homes and have the place it deserves, it's going to take the place in the pulpits. And when it's reigning in the pulpits, it's going to affect the places where we live. Brethren, the Word of God is being lost in our hearts. And we have to ask the question, what are our hearts being filled with? In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, an interesting passage where Paul writing to the Colossian brethren, that's Philippians, let's try Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Paul said again, Paul prayed earnestly for the Colossians that they be filled with the knowledge of His will. And again, the interesting aspect is that word filled. In Strong says of that word, it means to cram. You need to take the Word of God and not just pour a little bit in your hearts and in your minds. We understand what the idea of cramming something in is. You fill it as full as you... Any of you ever been on a vacation and know that you only have one suitcase to take on the plane? And you're going to fit every piece of clothing you could possibly fit into that suitcase. You go, "That's the one suitcase I get." And everything's going in it. And you cram it. Paul says, "I pray that your hearts and minds be crammed, be filled with the Word of God." How is that going to happen? In Colossians chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17, Paul then says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Again, it literally means exceedingly abundantly dwell within you. It doesn't mean that you've read it a few times a few years ago. It doesn't mean that you once read throughout the Bible, in a couple decades ago. It means you're constantly filling yourself up, overflowing with the Word of God, maintaining a healthy appetite. As we read in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, which hopefully we continue to make the point that when he talks about as newborn babes long for the pure milk of the Word, he is not talking to just new Christians. But he's talking to those who are mature Christians. You need to maintain that fervor for the Word of God and bind it around your neck, as we read in Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 3. The Bible is being lost in our hearts, and brethren, it needs to be stirred up. It needs to be stirred up, as Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14 about the need that he is writing that message, that epistle, to mature Christians because they need to have their hearts stirred by the Word of God. Again, another favorite passage of mine, Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, where Ezra the priest set his heart to study the law of the Lord, to practice it, to teach it in all Israel. Is our heart set on a daily basis to reading? And again, is it a matter that we're simply not paying attention? The fact is, we have access to the Word of God. It's not lost in the sense that it's not available. Mickey talked this morning about times and places, and it might still exist right now, where they cannot get their hands on a copy of the Bible. That is not the case for us. We have access to it in so many ways. But brethren, are we simply not paying attention? And if you read those passages, you read time after time again of God through His Word talking about the fact that it's His creation. It's not a matter of Him not communicating with us. It's a matter of we're not paying attention. It's a matter that other things are distracting us, that we're focusing our time somewhere else. We're just not paying attention. And really, it becomes a matter of time and discipline. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, that's why Paul talked about the fact that we've got to pay attention to our time. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." We are so blessed to have the Word of God so readily available. But the Word of God is still being lost in our hearts because we're not paying attention. Because other things, our entertainment, our recreation, our hobbies, the other interests that we have in life are taking priority. And as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, again, hopefully should be a memory verse for it all, for us all. Again, give diligence, be diligent, present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. It takes diligence and work for the Word of God not to get lost in our hearts because we've buried it with so many things of this world. Things get layered and layered on top of it. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. Again, but have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women, but on the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, for the purpose of knowing His will, for the purpose of knowing what God's Word says. Brethren, what can happen if we find the Word of God and give it the place that it deserves? As we read in the book of 2 Chronicles in the days of Josiah, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, in fact, they found the Word of God. We read in verse 19, first of all, that hearts will be convicted. There were hearts that were convicted when they read the book of the law. We read that Josiah tore his clothes. He was convicted. He realized that they were not living right. Hearts were humbled. Commitments were made. Obedience was rendered. Repentance was demonstrated. Service was rendered. And when the book of law was read, faithfulness was attained. What about today? And what about now? The Word of God can have the same effect. It might have that effect on you right now. Perhaps your heart is convicted because you realize you haven't given the Word of God the place it deserves. Perhaps you're humbled by the fact that you realize, like the Jews in the days of Josiah, that you have not been living right. Perhaps you're ready to make a commitment right now to serve the Lord and to render your obedience to the gospel, to repent of the things that are wrong, and to faithfully render your service unto God. Brethren, the Word of God has been lost before. It's being lost right now. But we need to resolve ourselves. It's not going to be lost in my heart and mind. It's not going to be lost in this congregation. And we're going to do everything we can. It's not going to be lost in our homes and in the world that we live in. Brethren, if you're subject to the invitation, make things right with God. If the Word of God has convicted you, you need to repent of your sins. Make that known if you need to obey the gospel. Won't you render that obedience tonight as we stand together and sing?